Hello everyone and welcome to season 3. We are finally back after 5 months of absence. Yep. I think it has been 5 months since our last episode.
Probably. I mean, yeah. Definitely last year. So.
Yeah, definitely. So how was your start to 2019, Will Zors?
We ended up having to write so much notes. Like, I flew by 2019 already, considering it's May now.
Yeah.
I ended up forgetting everything, but...
May the 4th yes. Be with you.
Today is the 4th of May, so May the 4th be with you. We even, before starting this episode, we met some of the guys from Wicked Comics, because yes. Today is also Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
I picked up a comic of My Hero Academia, which I love so much. Mm. And I... also took Riverdale. I'm watching Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix with okay. My girlfriend also.
Okay.
And Riverdale and Sabrina are in the same universe.
Okay.
I realized. Because they mentioned, like, oh, there's this thing at this near town called Riverdale. I'm like, Ara, how sweet.
Okay. All right. I went for a bit more. Macho, can I call it macho? More macho,
macho.
Than you? Can
why
I
say macho? That?
More macho?
I forgot what you got.
I got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja
and Spider-Man. Turtles. More specifically, a Venom comic. But yeah, it was nice meeting those guys. I haven't met them in quite a while, since November.
I think they had to sort this out so quickly, I think. They had a stand at the library in Birkirkara. They had a stand also in Valletta.
Yes.
Or for Yano.
Yes.
Can't
they also had the event in the Eden Cinemas when Avengers came out last week.
Ah, they had Comic Fest also.
Yeah.
Which I wish I could have attended, but sort of, I mean, with so many other plans that I didn't have the chance to watch the film again. Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, we're not going to spoil anything.
No, we're not going to spoil. I just decided to watch it the day after it released, just to avoid... anyone spoiling it for me?
Apparently they have like a deadline until you're sort of allowed to mention stuff.
I think
about
it's a week,
film.
Right?
Yeah, this week.
Because Ashley even published his review, his spoiler review of the movie.
Something he did. I watched it. Enjoyed it. Avengers became that film that you want to talk to someone about it, but you cannot because there's that one guy in the office who didn't watch it yet.
Watch it yet.
No, right. But anyway, back to 2019.
Yes, 2019.
It was busy.
Yeah, we've played with NGenA. We've played some Apex with him.
Yeah, Apex Legends dropped in the middle of nowhere.
Started
without any
and
sort
finished
of announcement.
Nearly in 1 month, Apex, because it started in February very strong and then it ended... It didn't end, but it dropped like it got. It lost half its followers.
I mean, the hype died down. Yeah. It's still being played, not as much as Fortnite, but I still think that Apex is a good game. I mean, I would rather play Apex than Fortnite personally, but that's, I mean, opinion. We played Anthem in the beginning of this year, which I didn't get hooked.
No, so neither did I.
Not worthy of my speech.
It's a lot of the same of Anthem 1. Anthem.
You're mixing with Division. Look, it's what happens when all these looter shooters come in.
Yeah, but Anthem, I was very excited about Anthem. I wanted to play it and I played it a lot. But I was very disappointed, as everyone was. It had so much potential just to be...
Yeah, but then as time went by, we sort of discovered what really happened in the game studio. People started to fish out that there were so much internal conflict and even the developers didn't know what game they were actually making until they made the video for E3.
Yeah.
When we saw the announcement of the game.
Yeah.
And then everyone inside the studio was like, so that's the game we're making.
Yeah.
Even the whole switching between the game was not going to have flying, then they put flying in again. And you can tell like how the maps are in the sizes of this map wasn't meant to have flying. Then this area seems to be catered for flying. It had so much confusion.
Which is a pity because it had a lot of potential.
It's miscommunication from higher up management. Yes, that's what really happened.
It was one of the games I was waiting for the most, to be honest.
Yeah, I wanted to see something from the original, sort of the origin and studio of BioWare. After what happened with Andromeda, with Mass Effect Andromeda. And now we can say that Mass Effect Andromeda is better than something.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, when a game is disappointed, now they're just saying, I don't know, for example.
Anthem was a big crash.
It's another Anthem. It's
a really big crash.
Yeah. The Division. We've played a bit The Division as well. Mm-hmm. I played the limited beta, the closed beta.
I got the full game. I didn't finish it, as many things that I do. But it was more of the same, as you notice from what David was saying from his early mix-up about Anthem.
Yep. More of the same. Yep.
It is, but it's not a bad thing either, because if you enjoy Division, then you're going to enjoy Division 2, because it's a more polished version of the game. If but you're into that sort of thing, like the setting, not the post-apocalyptic, but more like the modern guns.
But it is sort of post-apocalyptic.
Like, it is. But the setting, what I meant is more like, you know, the guns that you're messing about with.
Yes.
That slight hint of sci-fi, because the skills that the character uses, such as the drones, what they can do, such as dropping bombs.
The first one was set in New York. This one is set in Washington. Mm-hmm. If I'm not saying wrong,
Washington, basically.
But yeah, basically, I haven't played it yet because I would rather play something different. But I will definitely get to
it. We got exhausted from looter shooters all of a sudden.
Yep.
I mean, we did end up playing something different, which was Apex that you mentioned initially. Yes. I mean, we had a ton of fun. We even played it back in
February.
We were doing one of the streams related to gamers, I think it was.
With Engen.
And even the guys from gamers.
Yes, we're playing with Kirsten.
Kirsten
and Andre.
Andre, exactly. At the Invent 3D studio.
Yes.
Shout out to Invent 3D and the event of the Malta Robotic Olympiad happening next week.
Yes.
So.
And let's get started on doing that Resident Evil project we did. Shh.
What?
Resident Evil project that you mentioned when we were there. We'll see if that happens.
Wink. Edward. Edward.
But
what was nice to play different was Devil May Cry 5. That was sort of a breath of fresh air after the shooters that we played in the beginning of the year, which I had a ton of fun. I still need to obviously finish that, but it's not a long game, so it's just a matter of pushing along. But there's so much it has replayability, the game, so because you want to get better at it. The game is focused on doing really fancy combos with the characters that you can play. And even the inclusion of the new character V that they put inside the game, who's very different compared to Dante and Nero. It's fun. It runs really nicely on PC also. Unfortunately, there was the battle of the game running slightly slower because of the piracy protection that it has, the Nuvo. I mean, I can understand that you want to put piracy protection, but the fact that it can reduce performance of the game on your PC because of this one software, then it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can understand that. But still, it's still a fun game to try out.
Will, you want to talk a bit about your reboot development conference in Dubrovnik?
Dubrovnik,
aka
I went
King's
to King's Landing.
Landing.
Reboot was really nice to be at this year. It's my second time going up for this conference. Some of the designers and like the guys in the industry over there, it's, sometimes you feel it as an honor to be near them. Let's say it that way. I mean, initially, in fact, the main keynote speech in the beginning was given by Hidetaka Miyazaki, from Software, who everyone knows are Dark Souls.
Yes.
And now Sekiro.
That's the game I didn't mention. I played a bit of Sekiro.
You touched Sekiro.
But I'm not going to say it was shit. I'm just going to say it's not my type of game. Because it's a good game. It's a nice game.
That's not your style. I would play. That's all. And together with Hidetaka, there was also Fumito Ueda, who has worked on games such as Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. Warren Spector, who I do admire just because of the games he's worked on, such as the original Deus Ex, Ultima Serpentile, System Shock. And these I didn't play, but people might know about the Epic Mickey series that was on the Wii. It was the Wii, right? And he, for example, he will be talking about how his game design concepts is mainly about getting people to actually ask questions whilst you're playing, like you question things. For example, in Deus Ex, you end up helping like a terrorist group, for example, and you hear their agenda, why they're doing what they're doing, and you kind of say, you know, they're kind of right. You sort of understand why they're doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. So you go in that gray area.
Yeah, you know it's wrong, but still, not they even, have a point.
Kind like of like, Thanos. Is this necessary?
Yeah, like Thanos. He wanted to wipe half of the universe because it was overpopulated, not enough resources. So rather half of the people or beings in the universe.
Like, is this a necessary solution even though we see it as wrong?
Yes.
So yeah, that was nice to be at. Who else did I go to? One of the other keynotes that there were at the conference was Amy Hennig, who's a story writer for some of the Uncharted series. If people remember the old Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver games. So that was fun to be at. There were a lot of Japanese people. There was one talk, in fact, about the state of the games industry in Japan. I found that particularly interesting because they discussed the matter of translating when you localize games for certain countries.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I didn't know about, for example, was the whole, you know how we like these Japanese characters, the kanji.
Yes.
The Japanese then admire seeing things in English. So when they have abilities written in English, they like that. So they mention you shouldn't go through the complication or through the hassle of trying to translate the abilities you have in English into Japanese. Because if you just write it, there's one sort of writing called katakana, which mm-hmm. they use a lot for mention or trying to write down words of different nationalities or different languages. So if you're going to write something in English and Japanese, use this katakana writing.
Okay.
And you write it in a way that sounds close to the actual pronunciation. So for I can give you the example of elevator. It would come erebeto.
Okay.
So if you write, like in some role-playing game, fireball, but in English with this katakana writing, they'll find it cool.
Okay.
One of the speakers was Hidetaka Suehiro. In the game dev industry, people know him as Sueri. He's known for making games such as Deadly Premonition, which is sort of an adventure game. And now he has his own studio called White Owls, which worked on a platformer game called The Missing. And there's a weird, like the title, you find out what this game's about from this polygon title about this game where you see The Missing is a platformer that's all about mutilating yourself to survive. Thank you, Japan. And thank you, Sueri. But it looks really nice as a game. So even though it sounds over the top, it sounds really good. One of the talks that I really enjoyed was from the guys who worked on Dead Cells, the roguelite platformer game. It was interesting because of they discuss the mechanics that they implemented inside the game that actually help to make the game easier for you. It's sort of like holding your hand without even realizing they are holding your hand. Such as one they discussed is the last second jumping, or the last clip jumping. I forgot what it's called exactly. But it's where, imagine you're running at the edge of this platform.
Mm-hmm.
You press space bar or whatever, or X maybe to jump. And in some games, there's this really big frustration where you pressed X right at the edge of the cliff. It's sort of too late, so you fall down.
Yes. Used to find that in, for example, the old Crash Bandicoot.
Exactly. So instead, what do? They have this last clip or last second thing where it's recognized that you press the jump. You are kind of still on the platform, but there's that time discrepancy between the game registering the button.
Mm-hmm.
It notices that, and it still lets you jump.
All right.
So it says, let him jump. So it arranges your height and lets you jump. And that is a really good feel-good factor, because you still say, I timed this properly. And even other mechanics such as climbing on ledges. He discussed how even though double jumping in games is fake, it feels good because it lets you adjust yourself. There was another one I enjoyed from Renaud Charpentier. Everyone's French, apparently, in game design. Renaud Charpentier and Patrick Desilets were both people who worked on some of the big games in the past. For example, Patrice is known for working on Prince of Persia Sands of Time.
Okay.
And Assassin's Creed also, the original Assassin's Creed.
Nice.
And then Renaud Charpentier used to work for companies such as Ubisoft, Inside Games, and Sega. So some of the titles he worked on, in fact, were the Rayman series, Splinter Cell.
Gods.
You really meet amazing people over there. And Renaud Charpentier was discussing about grabbing some of the main mechanics of each game and trying to mix it into one. So he announced his game called Lorn Sword.
Okay.
It's a strategy game where, but instead of having just the view of your base and you build and train your armies, let's say a la Command and Conquer.
Yes.
Instead, you have a hero that you use to interact with everything. So he's like, well, we grabbed the base building of Dune 2.
Mm-hmm.
We grabbed the elite hero concept of Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
There was another game he mentioned, but I forgot. But he's like, then we mix these games and we try to see what we could come up with. And then we came up with this game, which does look interesting, and I might try it out because it gave me the vibes of Spellforce. And there was this old game called Sacrifice. And it's really fun when you get to meet someone who's actually played Sacrifice. It was a game where you're this one single hero.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an army running behind you. So you gather people and you march off into the objective to try and take it down, for example.
All right.
And it got really tough. I think for its time, it was really innovative. And it reminded me of that. Instead, at a sky view concept, like bird's eye view camera. You get to see games also being demonstrated or showcased in the games at the conference. There's one that I've seen it being speedrun called Far Lone Sails. There was an arcade game of Serious Sam called Serious Sam Tormented.
Yeah.
There was a space game that got me curious and I want to look up more about it called Starport Gemini. There's a lot happening. And then with the parties that happen at the conference, the networking, inverted commas, and us just plainly enjoying Dubrovnik in the end. Like, in fact, we had that a day free after the whole conference where we just enjoyed the city walls of King's Landing. And then we had dinner with some of us together. The area around you is this mountainous region where you know that beyond that mountain there's Bosnia. If you drive further down, you go to Montenegro, which I did visit for a day after the conference. And it's so green and like the lush nature. But yeah, no, I'm probably going again next year.
All right. I think we can move on to the last part of the episode, which would be Days Gone.
Ah, yes. Zombies.
Zombies. Zombies post-apocalyptic. Hashtag.
Yeah. So we're Last seeing that us. It's like a mix of yay and nay. In your case, it's yay.
Yay, of course. Yeah. So, no, it has its faults. I mean, in general, I think I've seen reviews and I've heard comments from people, it's doing well. It has bugs, yes. Firstly, I mean, the first bug that I found was the sound. There was a sound bug where you're just riding along on your bike and
you hear nothing.
Just the sound just goes, except for the dialogue. So all the environmental sounds, they're gone. I mean, you don't even hear zombies creeping up on you, nothing.
I remember such a bug in the beta of Anthem. You're just shooting and you hear nothing else.
If we're going to talk about bugs in Anthem, we're going to need like a whole season, not just one episode. But to be fair, going back to Days Gone, they fixed that within a week. A patch came out, I believe, after a few days.
Yeah.
And it's already fixed, so that's fine with me. A general overview for the game, I'm loving it. It reminds me a lot. It reminds me a lot of Last of Us. I think it's a bit quicker than Last of Us. Quicker in the way the combat system is a bit quicker, it's a bit more brutal, where you can, for example, craft this plank with nails in it and just dig it into a zombie's or another human being's head. So it's brutal, it is bloody, but
so much violence.
You have to kill the zombies, you can't negotiate with the zombies.
Who knows?
Something different that it has and that from Last of Us is a motorbike. The traveling system. First of all, Last of Us is not open world. This is open world. Days Gone is open world. So your main means of transportation is your motorbike, because basically your character is called Deacon St. John and you're a biker. Before whatever happened, and everyone turned into zombies.
So he's basically the
and...
modern version of Arthur Morgan.
To be honest, he's more like Daryl from
Walking Dead.
So yeah, the main story is that he's looking for his wife, which at the very beginning of the game, you think she's dead, then there's a possibility she's not, and we don't know. So he's sort of...
Plot twist, she's a zombie.
Might not. Because what happens is during the first beginning, and not giving away too much of the game, that during the beginning of the game, she gets stabbed, so he puts her on a helicopter, and then he's supposed to meet her at a camp, because there wasn't enough space on the helicopter. So then he goes to that camp and he finds it all blown to hell. So he assumes that she's dead.
I don't love you enough to be on this helicopter.
he basically sacrifices his place for her so she can go and be safe. But then anyway, the game is also it's a third person shooter, so you don't have that focus on weapons. It's not that accurate, but obviously then you get a skill tree, a skill set where you choose how to exchange your skill points. You get a sort of, you mentioned Red Dead Redemption, you get a sort of Deadeye, which is a focus bar and all that. So mainly what you're doing throughout the game, now I haven't finished it, so I can't spoil it, so that's a bit easier. So what I've played
Don't
so
spoil
far...
Endgame.
No, I'm not going to try and mention much about the story, in fact. You get three camps, and you do missions for these three camps. Each camp has different currencies, so depending on what missions you get currency to spend in that camp. Now, one camp has very good weapons, another camp has very good motorcycle parts, and another camp is just a good all-rounder. So, yeah, the story pushes you in different directions. Apparently, it has different endings, so your decisions affect the outcome of the game. Zombies wise,
it's like a case of you need to 100% the game in order to get a good ending or stuff like that.
Yes. Zombies wise, you don't have just obviously one type of zombie. If I'm not mistaken, there's some 5 or 4 type of zombies. I have 4 written down here. You've got swarmers. Swarmers are the, if you've watched the trailer, swarmers are all those zombies running behind you, and a horde of zombies can go up to some 300, 400 zombies. Screamers.
Okay, well.
Screamers would usually be close to the horde, and when they see you, they just start screaming, making noise to attract the horde. And you know, you start getting chased by a bunch of zombies. Newts are like these small golem-looking zombies that don't do anything to you.
Unless I want your flesh.
Stay away from me. They either attack you when you're low on health or where you're on their territory, and their territory usually is on rooftops. And then you get the basic freakers. Freakers are these, obviously, the normal zombies.
They dance
who are
to disco
eating
music.
Yeah, exactly. They're freak-a-leak, like Lil Jon, freak-a-leak. Yeah, so that's basically it. You have alternate bugs we mentioned already. Yeah, at the bike, we mentioned that a very important part of the game is the bike, which helps you transport yourself from camp to another. You do have fast travel as well once you've cleared certain nests of zombies, because zombies tend to congregate in certain areas, build nests.
Can you ride other things besides the
motorbike? You can only ride other bikes.
Other bikes, because so there isn't, like, there are horses
other
or...
No, because there are other drifters like you who use bikes to get around, and you end up obviously fighting against humans, which part of them are, some of them are bikers as well.
Biker gang.
So, yeah, exactly. So
Kenshiro
you do
with guns. Fist Sorry? Of the North. Nah, I'm just reminded of the whole post-apocalyptic Fist of the North Star cartoon when we were young. So it's kind of like this situation. Yeah, but similar. Instead of muscles, it's guns.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that thing you were showing me just now before the episode when you played Days Gone. When you couldn't pick up an item from the station wagon.
Yes. Yeah. That
like
is
it's
something.
There. It's in reachable distance.
So you get like this big station wagon, like the American family car, which the back windscreen, whatever, it's broken. There's a big hole, right? And
so
you can see through it.
Not making any noise to show zombies.
No, exactly. So it's broken, right? But for some reason, you still have to, rather than reaching in with your hand and picking up whatever inside, you have to unlock the boot of the car or the trunk of the car. But yeah, that's a bit silly. But yeah, I mean, every game has its
limitations.
And
you can see it. In fact, initially I said, I thought it was, no, you don't see the actual object inside. Maybe you need to open the trunk to actually see the item inside.
No,
but you do see the actual object inside. Like, it's there. Just put your hand in there.
Yep.
No, I shall use go
bit
the
of
long way.
Lack of foresight from the developers, but that's fine. It doesn't ruin the experience. As I was saying about the bike does need fuel, and the bike does break because you also get through certain ambushes. The other humans, humans. If I'm not mistaken, you get three. There are three types. You get drifters that are like you. There are skinners.
Types
which,
like gangs? Or...
Yeah, gangs / insane people.
Alright.
You've got skinners who are like these insane cults / they want to be zombies but they don't want to die guys, and they're cannibals. They're really disgusting. They amputate other humans. They're just all-around bastards.
Delicious.
Then you get other bikers like you. And you get some other drifters also that are like you. I'm confusing a bit the names. I can't remember them properly, to be honest. But you also have human and zombie enemies. So the zombies are sort of there, but they're not the main thing. And you also get De Niro. Niro, not De Niro, like Robert De Niro. you get the Nero Corporation. Apparently, they're this big corporation who I think they either started the zombie illness or whatever it's called, but that's just me being a bit speculative. But their main task at the moment is trying to figure out what's happening to the zombies, how they evolve, because you have different types of zombies, and I think they're trying to look for a cure or how to weaponize them, something like that. So yeah, going back to the bike one more time, you need fuel for the bike, you need to fix the bike, so you need to scavenge. You need to scavenge for scrap metal, you need to scavenge for weapons, and then you craft everything. You craft Molotov cocktails, you craft and improve weapons. Weapons do break down and weapons do need to be fixed. But yeah, and a lot of what I'm saying should be visible on the gameplay as I'm talking. So that's basically Days Gone without giving too much away.
So it's a bike simulator with zombies?
No. No, to be honest, it's a mash of
Uncharted. Remain a smug look.
A mash of Uncharted, a mash of Walking Dead, and Last of Us. If I had to pick three games, that it's that. So it has sort of the craving that I had to play Last of Us Part 2. Thank God Days Gone has, you know, it has subdued that craving for now. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what I was mentioning of the Renault Charpentier talk of mashing the main concepts of each game.
Yes. Like
yes. The main mechanic and shoving it into
one game.
Exactly.
Yep.
Which we kind of see nowadays is sort of what can we make that's more polished and more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Days Gone, unfortunately, it's great that you're enjoying it. Some not, unfortunately, but
yeah.
Maybe they didn't hit the nail or the head.
Maybe
we're just exhausted because we've seen a lot of the same so far. I don't know.
Yes, and the thing is, I think in our days, a lot of people, given YouTube, Facebook, sort of everyone's opinion has become important. So rather than saying this game isn't for me,
we're waiting for someone to state their opinion rather than...
Yes, someone would say this game is shit rather than I don't like to play these type of games. The same thing that I did with Sekiro. I played Sekiro, I played it maybe for 2 hours. It's not a game that I would enjoy. I'm not going to say it's shit. And see, it's a very good game because I appreciated certain aesthetics to it.
Yeah, I can't say Days Gone is bad or anything because I haven't played it. So yeah. I'm just judging, basing my saying based on what everyone else, not everyone else, like
yep.
what I'm seeing from Metacritic, stuff like that, and Reddit.
Yeah. But yeah, and there is a point that certain bad reviews usually tend to get more viewers. So I think you do get certain YouTubers or Twitch streamers who just say a game is
exaggerated,
bad.
That's true.
Yeah, just say a game is bad and just to increase their
that
viewers.
Would be an interesting topic. Like, unfortunately, nowadays you don't find stuff like demos being available for you to try it out.
No.
The problem is that there's a reason to that. There was one article I found that said sales go up when they don't give the demo.
Yeah.
Because like if you don't like the game, then you don't buy it.
Yes.
But people are buying it so that they try it out.
Yes. And certain games
sucks,
like...
because you're forking out 60 euros for a PS4 game most of the time.
Yes, agreed. But then, for example, I get the concept where certain demos can misrepresent a game. For example, I wouldn't imagine a good demo for Red Dead Redemption or God of War, which, in my opinion, are the two best games of last year. I don't see how a demo can do them justice. You know,
I think God of War would work.
Sorry?
No, I think God of War would work. Red Dead, slightly tough.
No, I don't think God of War. I don't think having a game like God of War, which, to be honest, I wasn't bored for a second. Every level you do, every part of the story has something different. It's very difficult to show that the epicness of that game sort of. In just, you know, an hour.
But then God of War can get away with not having a demo, I guess, because yes, of the whole.
It has such a following.
It has a franchise, like it's got a backing.
Four or five other games before it, so yeah.
Hmm. So what's happening later? I mean, we won't be able to have an episode next week because
no.
Episode, you will be on the rock.
Yes.
And I'll also be visiting the Malta Robotic Olympiad event.
Yes.
In fact, I'd be
and we'll mention,
taking part initially with the... It shall be at the Tekken tournament also.
Yes.
So I'll be meeting some of the Tekken City guys.
Yep. But then we should have an episode...
Probably by the afternoon, I'll already be kicked out of the tournament because I suck. dude,
yeah.
they are bringing in some competitors from Italy. And
ooh.
And they initially won like one of the previous national cups in Malta. So... when I remember one Italian competitor, he sort of had the ante of whatever his opponent picked as a character. Usually with Tekken, you know, sort of two or three characters. Three is already sort of going hard mode because you have to remember the combos of these guys. But this guy knew more than three, and that is quite a feat. So sort of the skill level of these people coming in is quite impressive. But they're genuine nice people, so it's going to be cool meeting them again.
Yeah, and that's something that we would mention in the next episode. Next episode would be most probably in 2 weeks' time. and yeah, we've got at least another 5 episodes. And before, sorry, yeah, before E3.
Sort of what's happening, I guess.
Yep.
I mean, there's going to be E3 too.
Yep, E3, we're going to do the same thing as we did last year. We're going to live stream.
Whatever is actually during whilst we're awake.
Yep. We'll post the schedule on later on the page. And we'll give more details about that closer to the date.
Definitely.
Yes, as we mentioned before, if some things aren't clear, we should be including pictures and videos now with our podcast. So... And those obviously are available on YouTube.
Indeed.
Cheers and bye. Thank you for listening. Bye bye.